This conference is being recorded.
Oh, he can record.
Yeah, Bobby, yeah, just starting to record. So if you can mute star 6, and then we'll get back to it. Okay, we're starting here in the section that's called Yahweh's Perfected People. If you're online, anyone can get it. When they go to the book or where it says to start the class for people of color, and as you scroll down, in chapter 1, there's a section that refers to how has Yahweh been testing his people, and it says it's on page 38. No, not 38, sorry. It's on, where I have a perfected people, how, yes. Okay, I'm looking at page, how, okay. Okay, if you, it's on 31, that's what it's called. Will Yahweh have a perfected people? Okay, so it's on 31, if everyone is there, so if you're not, you can just go back one and then hit the one that page, the page that says page 31. That's the one I'm going to look at first. The perfecting of a people. The purpose of the book, People of Color in the Bible, is to present the Bible from a holistic approach in which it was written and given to us. Excuse me. What I'm referring to here is that the Bible is a holistic book. Holistic meaning it deals with the whole person, their mind, body, and soul. And once we understand that the Bible is written from that perspective, we need to try to understand it in that perspective. And so in my book, I try to look at it from that perspective. I have a section that deals a little bit with the health, which we're going to be talking about today. I have the history part, which is the majority of it, and I also mix in there the spiritual part as it relates to our walk. This will develop the whole person, mind, body, and soul. Will Elohim, which is God, have a perfected people? God wants us and made us to reflect his image and glory to the world. Now, that's highly important because when we talk about his image or his reflection, in the book of Hebrews, he talks about Yeshua, or what people call Jesus the Christ, that he was the image of his glory. The Bible talks about that. I believe that's in chapter 1 of Hebrews. And so when we were created, Adam and Eve, we were created in his image so that we can reflect the image of Elohim to the world. So that's what Adam and Eve were created. They were created to reveal Yahweh to the universe. Adam was created perfect in order that Elohim's nature could be reflected to the world. Adam was created in God's or Elohim's image. Now, we know that Elohim or God, the original word for God was translated from the word Elohim, which is plural. When it talks about how could Adam reveal himself or reveal Yahweh to the universe or to who are we talking about, to the angels, it would be reflected to him through the animals, through everything on the planet. The same way that Yeshua came as the second Adam, the Bible talks about. And he came as the second Adam, helping us realize that he was fulfilling the role that the first Adam was created in perfection to be, and where he is calling us back to. And so that's why Adam and Eve, that's why Yeshua or Jesus is referred to as the second Adam in the New Testament. I believe that's in the book of Romans. It says here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 7, and God said, let us make man in our image. Excuse me, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, or Elohim, created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay, so we know that when I'm not talking about a physical reflection of him, but his image in reference to his personality, matter of fact, to his whole glory, for he's was supposed so that when Yeshua was here on the planet, he was constantly telling people that when you saw him, you saw the Father. And it said that also that he did not do his will, but he did the will of the Father that sent him, and he came to finish his work. And the same thing with Adam and Eve, that's what they were created, not to do their own thing, but to do the will of the Father, and to allow Yeshua, or to allow Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, Elohim, to dwell in Adam and Eve so that the world, the animals, other people eventually that would live, and the angels could actually see Yahweh being shown to the world or revealed to the universe. Now, have we had any perfected people so far? And if we do, who were they? Well, we have, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked so closely with God and reflected God's image so much that God took him off planet Earth before he saw death. The Bible talks about that he was translated, or God took him. So in Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, it reads, "And Elohim walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, excuse me, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So this was our first person that we see that the Bible talks about, that this person walked so close to God, just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. The Bible talks about that he would walk in the cool of the day with him. But we see here that the Bible is telling us that Enoch walked with God. And so that's something that's very important. So now remember, this is after the fall. Before the fall, that was something different. The Bible does talk about Adam walking, or Elohim walking, in the cool of the day. And he asked Adam, you know, "Where art thou?" He knew where he was, but it was just letting us know. Like in verse number 8 of chapter 3, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Elohim, Yahweh God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And so we see this conversation going on. And so the Bible talks about with Enoch that actually God walked with Enoch. Now that's very interesting in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 5. Okay, so that's our first person. He's translated as what we would call the same thing that happened to the other person that I remember is Elijah. The Bible talks about that Elijah walked with God, and God also took him. And Elisha took his place. I believe that's in Kings chapter 18. That's where it talks about Elijah, and it goes on for many chapters. So there we have another person who was translated. Those are the only two people that I remember that we call translated or taken away because they walk so close with Yahweh. In Genesis, so we have now another person who the Bible refers to as perfect. Noah was perfect in his generation. God rewarded him and his children by allowing them to repopulate the earth. So in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9, it reads, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God." So there we got this same phrase again of someone walking with God. And that is where Yahweh is calling us today. He's calling us back to this same state of walking with him so that he might be able to perfect us, cleanse us. Now the question is, well, what does he use or how does he do that? Well, we'll as we study through, we'll get a better picture of it. But we first wanted to try to establish that there were perfect people. Who were they and what did they teach or say, or what was the Bible teaching or saying about them? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Okay, now many people or some denominations teach that grace didn't come into existence until the New Testament. But here we find in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So it's not a New Testament doctrine, it's an Old Testament doctrine. Matter of fact, you know, the first book doctrine. So all people who have who follow Yahweh all find grace in the eyes of Yahweh, or under grace, as it would be put. The verse, and it also mentions here, he also received the grace of God in order that he could become a son of God. Without the grace of God, Noah could not have been justified, nor could he have been made perfect. Now, justification is a term that's mentioned in the New Testament. But to be just or justified, then you become a just person. As we can see here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says that Noah was a just man. So to be a just person, he has to be justified. And he was perfect. And for him to be perfect, he has to have the indwelling spirit of the Holy Spirit so that he can be able to allow Yahweh to live in him, so that he might be perfected. No one can be perfected of their own. And so we see here that the Bible talks about grace, justification, a just man, and perfection. God also declared that Job was perfect. That's another character of the Old Testament, and that he feared God. There aren't many people that God declares to be perfect, but Job was one of them. Now notice it said Noah was perfect in his generation. Okay? Here, let's read about it. Job, is it in reference to his generation, or is he just perfected? Or is Yahweh perfecting him? In Job 1:1, it reads, "There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, the one that feared Elohim, or God, and eschewed evil," or avoided evil. The land of Oz was in the area inhabited by two black nations of people called the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans. Now, in our verse, we're going to give the quote there in Job chapter 1, verses 15 and verse 17 tells us. Okay, we'll read that. "And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Okay, that's verse 15 and verse number 17. Chapter 1 in Job says, "While he was yet speaking, there came another. There came also another and said, the Chaldeans. Made out three bands and fell upon the camels. and having carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So the book of Job, or Job here, he's living amongst two different groups of people, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans. Now, we're going to talk about these two people. They're mentioned in my book because we identify who they are and what lineage they came from. They came from the lineage of Ham. So we know that they were of what people will call classical African, because the children of Ham were what the Egyptians, which was called Mizraim, was Cush, which are called the Ethiopians, so the Cushites, was Canaan, which we call the Canaanites, and Put, which is what we call today Libya. So these were the descendants of Ham. And so these are what they refer to as the classical ancient Africans, as it relates to the Bible. Also, we find something about the Chaldeans. The Bible talks about that Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees, same people. So now the Bible is referencing Abraham in a land where it was inhabited or controlled by what we call Cushites, or burnt-faced people, or classical Africans. Okay, it says, these people robbed Job, as we read, of all his goods, but this did not make Job sin. So it was the same with the Africans throughout American slavery. We did not forget God, even though we had lost everything. Now, I make the parallel to our condition, or the condition of the African Americans at that particular time. During the particular time of in Africa, when we were brought here as slaves, matter of fact, we served Yahweh more than we do today, that's for sure. We had closely knitted communities, and we prayed and we sung and worked out in the fields and did all of those different things. But that did not turn us from not serving Yahweh. And so this is the same thing. As Job lost everything, he, again, as the same individual, he did not forsake Yahweh neither. Under the book here called Herodias, which is called the father of the Greeks, or what we call the European. Many people say that history begins with the Greeks, and the European history, they said that their history begins with the Greeks also. So when I was studying and reading about Herodias, the father of the Greek, but not the father of all history, that he had a phrase in reference of how they described black people. And I'll read what it says here. Herodias, the father of the Greeks, and European history use the phrase black with skin is denoted to denote a black African. And in my book, if you look at chapter 2, under quote 4, I quote it. Also, notice how the Bible uses this term in the next verse. Job tells us that his skin was black. Now, okay, so let's look at the verse here which he's referring to. Job 30:30. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burnt with heat. Now, in the phrase up here earlier, Herodias refers to black people as black with heat. And he down here refers to him as referring to as being burnt with black with heat also. I didn't want to spend a bunch of time on that. I want to move on to the next quote, or the next area here. Sometimes God allows hard times to come so that we can see if we are really following him or things of this world. So are we following Yahweh, or are we following the gifts he gives us? And that's what the contestment of Job was, that Lucifer told Yahweh that, hey, Job only serves you because you give him things. And lots of people today, that's why they want to serve him. As long as he gives them a good car and he gives them this and he gives them whatever you want, then they want to serve Yahweh. But we see here with Job that Job lost everything and he still served Yahweh. And so this is some of the tests that we go through. We go through some hard times so that we might be able to see what are we following. Are we following Yahweh or are we following just following him just because we want things from him? Sometimes God allows hard times to come so that we can see if we are really following him or the things of this world. God is calling us today to perfection, like his servants of old. Now, some would say, well, that might be Old Testament. He's not calling us in the New Testament to perfection. Well, if we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, because many people just believe that we're just New Testament believers, but I believe we have to, we're complete Bible believers. We should be. That means Old and New Testament, not just New Testament believers. But that's what many people are taught. In Matthew chapter 5, so we're going to use the New Testament to see if the New Testament is teaching the same thing the Old Testament is teaching. Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. People might say we cannot be perfect. Others might say, do you know anyone who is perfect? That question does not negate the command. God has commanded us to be perfect. He, that's God, he will supply us with the power and the grace to become perfected in the Messiah. You're not perfected in your own strength. You're only perfected through the Holy Spirit and through the mediation of Yeshua, the Son of God. My question to you is, will you allow God to perfect your character through the washing of the Word? So the more we read the Word, the more the Word takes hold of us and takes control of our minds and our thoughts, the more we can yield ourselves over to him. So reading the Word becomes vital. It's like our food. Okay? This will cause you to have the character that will qualify you for the church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, some people might say, well, he's not coming back for perfected people. He's not coming back for a perfected church. Well, let's read here Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. And it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So there we go again. We got the word is going to be washing us and cleaning us up. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Now we know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about the perfecting of the 144,000. And it talks about them being blameless. Now, if you turn with me there, I'll just read a little bit of that because it reminds me of what Ephesians is saying here. That's Revelation chapter 14, starting at verse number 1 in the book of Revelation. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard the voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they, excuse me, which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. Just like as we spoke about Elijah, Enoch, Noah, Job. Okay, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So here we find a group of people, 144,000 in particular, who Yahweh is going to perfect and present before his throne blameless, without guile, and so forth. Just as we were reading in Ephesians, it says this church that he's coming for without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that they should be holy and without blemish. So on this part of our study today, we just was helping us realize that there were perfected people. He is trying to bring us back to perfection, and how will he do that? Right now we're going to take a pause. I'm going to pause the recording, and then we can have some questions before we move to the next section.